There's a version of you that is not realized until you allow the Holy Spirit to consume you and take over you. There is a freedom that you have inside of you that you have not realized yet until you allow the Holy Spirit to completely fill you and take over you. And there, as a church, there is a version of the church that exists that cannot be realized until we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, you do weird things. And people who are outside the church scratch their heads and say, how could you have done that? I don't know how that's possible. And it's because there's a supernatural level you're living with. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. I was asked by my wife and my children, how are you feeling? And I told them, I'll just tell you the truth because I'm always transparent. I said, I just have mixed feelings right now. I'm excited, but I'm fearful. And I'm nervous, and I'm stressed, and I'm joyful. I mean, it's like all of that together, and a lot of it has to do with just with what how God has been working in my heart. So I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Nick for just leading this church while I've been gone. They have been an amazing, amazing blessing. Thank you so much. I want to thank our church board, our finance team, our entire staff, all of our volunteers, directors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for continuing to give. Thank you so much. Giving is an act of worship, and it's an act of trust. And people who give aren't necessarily better off financially than others. God just has more hold of their hearts. That's all. That's the only thing different there. So thank you for that. Thank you for your continued commitment at Thorn Creek Church. Thank you for being here. So I'm just grateful for that. And please know we missed you. I know my children have been here, but I haven't been here. And my wife hasn't been here. She's been with me, and I'm grateful for that. But just know we missed all of you very, very, very much. So please hear that. We love you all so much. We love you all. You know, my last sabbatical I took, that impact kind of stuck with me for about all the way up from since 2012 to today. To I don't know how many years is that, 12 years or something like that, or 14 years? How many years? What's 2025 minus 2012? Math people? 13? I think I heard 13 in there. When everybody gives an answer at the same time, you don't hear anything. But I think it was 37. So it stuck. So here's my prayer is that God, what he did inside of me and what he showed me sticks inside of me for another 13 years at least. And I think that's going to be good. That's going to be good for us, good for the church, so that it just sticks with me. Sometimes, you know, when you go through an experience, it's like, it'll wear off. Give it some time. In a month, you know, it'll all be forgotten. And, my sabbatical in 2012 that I took, I would not be here at Thorn Creek Church if it wasn't for that sabbatical. I was on empty, and I was in a broken place, and I needed to meet with God. I didn't need a podcast or a binder or a book or a conference. I just needed to encounter the living God, and he did that. And I can just tell you that this experience has also been very, very unique, very different from my first experience. I went, and I was at half a tank. It was a little bit of preventative maintenance. I wasn't going to wait for the car to break down. You know what I'm saying? So I this has been an incredible journey. We've been, you know, at this for 22 years. Last April, we made 22 years, and it's been an amazing journey. And glory to God. Glory to God. I am so grateful and humbled. We are so grateful and humbled that we have an amazing church full of people who love us and have a heart for the vision. So during my sabbatical, I want to share some things with you. I cannot share everything with you. We just will be here for a long time. And I know you don't want to be here for a long time. I'm going to share with you like 7%, maybe 10 of what happened to me and what God told me. And I just believe, let me just say, as the Lord moves in the heart of the lead pastor, it impacts the entire church. So this is a good thing for all of us. I believe it's a word for all of us. It was not a vacation. I want you to hear that. Someone said, hey, did you enjoy your vacation? And typically, vacations mean you do nothing. And that was not it at all. In fact, during that time, there was a very big spiritual purpose behind it. I met with 22 different pastors, one-on-one, from different denominational and non-denominational backgrounds. I sat with them sometimes for an hour, sometimes for an entire day. Many of them cleared their schedule just to be with me. I met with them all over the state and out of the state. Every time I met with them, I would put together a list from my meeting with them of things that the Lord showed me, or things that we need to start, or things we need to stop at this church. And I have a list I'll share at some point. I have that. And the purpose of these meetings, every time I said, God, speak to me. I recognize, you know, I always say a good church is faithful to their mission field. Not every church should look the same, but every church should be focused on Jesus Christ. Every church should be focused on him and built on Jesus Christ. Every church. There's one baptism and one faith, and there's one salvation, and there's one name under heaven by which we must be saved, and his name is Jesus. But I learned a lot. It was beautiful being in those situations. I visited 10 different churches. Some were denominational churches. Some were non-denominational churches, whatever that means. Non-denominational churches have a box of beliefs. They just have a label called non-denomination on it. But I visited even an Anglican church, and the highlight was taking the wine during communion. That was a really cool thing. Now I get it. I have been sober now for, let me think about this. I've been... Anyway, I also during this time I walked the steps of Paul the Apostle. We took a trip. We took a trip to Europe, and we went to Athens, and we went to Rome, we went to Corinth, and we got to, you know, be at the places that Paul the Apostle was at. And I will tell you, I have a new perspective of Paul the Apostle. I have a new perspective of the writings in the New Testament. And I pray you see that. And I also, during this vacation, I preached a revival. It was in Hawaii, and that was a revival that we did last year. And last year, there were many people that came to know Jesus and many baptisms, and they asked me to come back and the team. So we went, the last 3 weeks of my sabbatical, I was working on 5 sermons. And I was working on getting ready, because in Maui, it's their 2-year anniversary now since the Maui fires. Over 1,000 people died over those fires. But I preached on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday morning, all different sermons. And then I also prepared a sermon for this weekend. This is a little bit more, it's not a traditional sermon. But I've been a little bit busy on my vacation. But I wanted you to hear this. I'm just being silly. It wasn't a vacation. Pastor Mark Gudmundson, who pastors the church in Maui, he sent me this text, and he said, "You are and continue to be an amazing blessing to me, our church, Ohana," means family, "and the island of Maui. You," and then he put "we," "won't know the extent of the impact you have made on our island community and beyond until heaven. I think we will be surprised by the number of saints we will meet who are there because of your inspired and God-breathed messages. Mahalo nui loa for the sacrifice made from you and your church to come here. We love you guys." So I wanted you guys to be aware of that. God just put that all together in a beautiful way. Overall, I want you to know that it was a success. This whole sabbatical experience was a success. You know, there's nothing more valuable than your soul. There is nothing more valuable than your soul. Jesus made that clear. There is nothing more valuable than your soul. So doesn't it make sense to take care of your soul? Doesn't it make sense to feed your soul? If your soul's not right, nothing's right. Have you figured that out yet? If your souls are not right, work is not fun. Work is not right. Relationships are not good. Friendships are not good. Marriage is not good. Nothing is good. You're not happy. But if your soul is at a good place, your perspective of life changes. And you're not dependent on your circumstances anymore. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Whether you live in a car or you live in a penthouse, it doesn't matter. If your soul is right, everything falls into place. So take care of your soul. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, take care of your soul. Can you do that? Take care of your soul. Maybe you need to read the Bible every day. I highly, highly encourage that. So I'm going to share with you just a little bit because God gave me some words. And before I took the sabbatical, my prayer was, God, I need you to drop some words right on my lap. Because there's nothing like an encounter with the Word of God. There's nothing like your Holy Spirit, you getting caught up by the Holy Spirit or you feeling like God is speaking to me right now. That will carry you. So my prayer was, God, give me a word. Give me a word. He spoke so many times, but I'm going to speak to you just a little bit of some things that he said. But before I do, I wanted to give you a little picture. This was our trip to Europe. We got rained on, and we looked like a box of M&Ms or something. I don't know. But it was just so much fun being with my family. I'm grateful that this church loves my family. I want you to hear that. I'm grateful that my family serves, too. We're not in the, you know, just cruising. My whole family serves, so thank you for that. Here's another picture, I think, that summarizes our trip. this was us traveling. For a while, it just felt like, okay, I'm getting on a plane to go to Chicago. Now I'm driving back, and literally from Chicago, I picked up my daughter. We drove in like at 11 o'clock a.m., and then we were at DIA the same day by 3 o'clock flying to Turkey. I mean, it was that kind of craziness. And then we were going from, I think every 2 or 3 days, we were going somewhere, but it feels like that. But I want to tell you, this, as I prayed about this, there's two trees that God put in my life during this sabbatical. They kind of sandwiched my whole sabbatical experience. The first tree was in Athens. You know, I was sitting underneath this tree, and actually I coerced my family to come with me. If you're dark like me, a person of color, you're looking for shade, all you white people have no idea what I'm talking about. You're trying to look like me, but all my people of color say amen. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, I do not want to be out in the sun. There's nothing in me that wants, it's like the sun just like 10 feet above me. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm looking for shade. And every time I find a tree, they come close to me so they can get the sun and I get the shade. But while I was there, that was the first time. That was like a few weeks into the sabbatical. That was the first time I was able to inhale and exhale, that I felt it. That was the first time I felt the weight of the church come off of my shoulders. It didn't happen on day one. And you know, I had this weird thought when the weight came off of my shoulders. I at that point, I realized, like, wow, that was a heavy weight. It's like, you know, like you go on a trip and you carry a backpack with you all day. Have you ever been in that situation? And people give you more things to carry, and you're carrying that backpack. And then at the end of the day, you take off that backpack, and you're like, wow, this is how you guys felt the whole time? This feels great. Leading a church, fighting the good fight, being in a spiritual battle 24/7, day and night, when I'm on stage and when I'm off stage, when you're not looking and when God's always looking, there is a spiritual weight that comes on my shoulders all the time, a weight to have clean hands and a pure heart, even when you're not around, a weight to have spiritual integrity so that the favor and anointing of God will be on me, a weight to make sure my sins are forgiven and I'm confessing lights out when I need to confess and I'm repenting when I need to repent and I'm right with God, because I recognize when I'm right with God, then the blessings of God. So I live with this spiritual weight. So when that weight came off, I remember just feeling like I'm at the beach right there, and I remember thinking, gosh, that's a big weight. And for the first time I thought, and maybe you've heard, those of you who've been in the church a long time, you know this. There's a lot of pastors that go away and take time off and take a sabbatical, and they don't come back. I can give you a list. And you know why? It's because of that weight. I can't imagine those pastors who think, you know, first of all, their church is not a healthy situation. So the thinking is, okay, I'm going to go back to that church that's not healthy and not supportive and not excited about God and not rallying around a vision. I get it why the pastor says, I don't think I want to fall on that sword anymore. I don't think I want to go into that fight. I don't want any smoke, any more smoke with those people. I get it. There's this weird thing that happens during a sabbatical time where you start feeling separated from the church. And that's a good thing, but it's also a tough thing too. You know, I feel a little bit, even here, I'm feeling a little bit like an outsider a little bit because I've been so separated. When I preached in Maui and I saw our people at the airport, I was so excited to see them. But there was a part of me that's like, nice to meet you. I'm Reuben. And, you know, it just feels like that. I'm just being real with you guys. It's a weird, weird thing. But in Athens, underneath this tree, the Lord gave me this word. Here it is. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. The Lord told me, Reuben, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. For I am with you. Thank you, Lord. And no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. Do you know pastors need encouragement? Don't you need encouragement? Isn't it a game changer when you know God is with you? Isn't it a game changer, whatever you're facing in life and the unknowns? You don't even need to know how everything's going to be resolved. You don't need to know the future. You don't need to know any of those things, as long as you know God is with you. And the Lord reminded me, do not be afraid. Speak out. Preach. Don't be silent. God is with me. And I needed to hear that. You know, I didn't fully understand what that meant at the time. A lot of times, and I'm guessing it's just like you, when the Lord drops a word on you, you don't fully understand the Lord is building up to something else. And he's giving you a word that's like here, but you don't understand that's not the end of the word. That's the beginning of a word. And he's dropping something on your laps that you're going to rely on in the days, weeks, months, even years, but you don't have that perspective. Initially, it's just a word that says God is with you, but you don't understand the magnitude of God is with you. You don't understand the magnitude of God wants you to turn away from sin. You don't understand the magnitude that you can rely on the faithfulness and promises of God. You don't get that. You hear that one word, and God was building this inside of me. I'm reading this book right now. During the sabbatical, I've been reading it, and it's called Fresh Power. It's by a pastor named Jim Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. My first sabbatical, I went there in Brooklyn, and Jim put his hands on me and prayed for me, and it was really significant. And so I thought, this is appropriate. My second sabbatical, I'm going to read it. And there's a quote in this book. And he says this, the work of God can only be carried on by the power of God. And that, again, the Lord was just stirring my heart and preparing me. Like, what does this mean? The work of God can only be carried on by the power of God. He's referring to life in the Spirit. He's referring to there's things that can only be accomplished if you allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. There's a version of you that is not realized until you allow the Holy Spirit to consume you and take over you. There is a freedom that you have inside of you that you have not realized yet until you allow the Holy Spirit to completely fill you and take over you. And there, as a church, there is a version of the church that exists that cannot be realized until we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, you do weird things. And people who are outside the church scratch their heads and say, how could you have done that? I don't know how that's possible. And it's because there's a supernatural level you're living with. During this time, the Lord gave me these words. And I thought, what does that mean, God? During my trip to Europe, I had weird experiences. Weird. Now, if you hang out with me and you hang out with me in ordinary life or you go on a trip with me, you'll find out that a lot of weird things happen to me all the time. My family knows that. I was asking Kaylee, I said, Kaylee, do you recognize that? Does that all these weird things? She said, no, it doesn't bother me. It happens to you, not to me. So she said, but it's true. It all kinds of weird stuff happened to me. And just in those 2 weeks, let me just share. There were 7 weird things that happened to me. I hit a car with my rental car my first day in Athens. That was cool. I drove backwards in Athens because some Greek guy was yelling at me. All I had to do was back up 10 feet. I was on a one-way, and he didn't want to back up. And I started yelling at him, and he started yelling at me. And I went ahead and went backwards as slow as possible because I wanted him to wait for me. I got another side. We had this weird encounter with this guy in the subway in Rome. And we had to get off of the subway. Like, and we weren't at our destination. And we got off just because it was a weird situation. And we ended up walking, I don't know, maybe 2 miles or something like that at midnight in Rome because that was the last subway. We didn't know that, but we thought our safety was pretty important. I got a second rental car there in Europe, and I scraped that one on a wall. And that was weird. That cost me $100. I lost my boarding pass coming home. And in the end, I opened up my suitcase and my favorite pair of pants were missing. I'm like, what, how? And then check this out. I got lost in Athens. We were staying at an Airbnb. We always stayed at Airbnbs just about all the time. And I like doing that because I want to be where the locals live. That's always my head. It's like, I don't want to be at the tourist spot. I don't want to be at the condos. I know some of you like that bougie life, and that's okay. But I'm not like that. It's like, I want to go when I want to eat where the locals eat. That's where I'm. I want to taste what they taste. I want to get all of it. So we stayed at an Airbnb in Athens. And apparently, this Airbnb, it was known for having horrible, horrible parking. Let me just tell you, Orange County is nothing compared to where I was at. You drive down. Let me show you a picture of the streets. This is like where we're at. All the streets look the same. They all have these apartments, and cars are lined up on one side. You go to another street, they're lined up on both sides. It's not unusual to drive and your side mirror to be 2 inches from the car and 2 inches from this other. It is tight. It is really, really tight. And one time it took us 1 hour to find a parking spot when we showed up, okay? Parking's horrible. And when you parallel park, you may have 6 inches in front of you, and in their minds, that's plenty of room. I mean, it is like that. It is horrible. And so I was, adjusting and, we were coming in one time at night, and you would be surprised driving in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning. There's still nowhere to park. I mean, it's like you would think, like, well, doesn't anybody ever drive away from these parking spots? Nobody drives away. They just stay out in the streets. So we were driving and we saw some area with some tape. But we saw some area with no tape, so we thought we'll just park with a no tape place. So we parked with a no tape, and then the next morning, and this was after about 30 minutes of driving around or something, finding a parking spot. The next morning, I get a text from the car rental company that we got the car, and the text is like, I got like a whole bunch of texts. I missed a whole bunch of calls, and bottom line is like, move your car immediately. The police are going to tow it away. There is a market going on, and your car is in the middle of it. Well, the previous night, there was no market. There was some tape, but it's all in Greek. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. So I see it, and I'm like in my drawers, and I'm like, oh, my word, baby, I got to go. I grab the car keys, and I run out the door, and I go out there, and let me just show you what it looks like when I go out. This is what it looks like, and my car is wedged between, like, oranges and bananas or something like that. And it's like 3 inches in the front, 3 inches in the back. And all I'm thinking is, I got to pull out of that? And my whole thought was, it's a stick, by the way. I should have told you that. My whole thought is, I do not want to knock over someone's display. And I would just be, I mean, they'd be angry at me. So I'm like, and remember, they have like 6 inches. I mean, it's like nothing. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to pull out of this thing. So I'm going to stick using the emergency brake because I don't want to roll back because I don't want to hit the grapes or whatever it is. So I'm like wedging myself out of this, you know. And then the guy is like, you know, just saying, opa, 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 whatever he's saying. I don't know what he's saying. But anyway, he's telling me. And then he's like, he wants me out of this. So I'm the bad guy because everybody's giving me the bad look, like I did this on purpose or something. So I drive away. Well, I got to find a parking spot. So I drive, and I know we're you know, our place is right over there. Fortunately, the night before, I remember my son told me, hey, Dad, our place has a little palm tree sticking out the window. That's how we know. He told me that, but God just knew. Providentially, God just knew. So I drive away, and I drive around like the street. I'm looking, and there's no parking, and then I got to expand, you know, my radius. I go out two blocks, and I'm looking, and there's nothing. I got to expand my radius, and I go out three blocks. And incidentally, all the streets are not perfect. So, you know, they do this number, and the streets do this number. So I'm driving, and I'm driving, and I'm driving. I'm going farther out and farther out and farther out. I'm going around, and it all looks the same. I eventually park. And when I park, I get out of the car, and I realize I don't have my phone. I don't have my watch. I don't have anything. I don't know where I'm at. And I look, and there was this one, I remember it said sushi. It was very, I mean, everything literally is written, but for whatever reason, this business said sushi. And I remember thinking, okay, I got to remember that. And I start walking, and I'm thinking, I don't know where to go. I don't know. It all looks the same. And I'm looking, and I'm walking around, and I've got nothing. Guys, an hour goes by with me walking the streets of Athens, lost. That's one of my chapters, Lost in Athens. And I remember thinking, I get why people who are lost like curl up in a ball and cry. I get that. Because there is a part of me like, I am legit lost. And who am I going to ask for directions? There was this woman that was walking, and she just looked like she spoke English. I didn't know. But I asked her, I said, hey, can I use your phone? And she was very suspicious. Believe it or not, if I wasn't a pastor, people look at me and they lock their doors. I have a scary face or something. I don't know. But I know what it's like to walk the streets and get doors locked on. You know, you hear click, 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 you know, I'm coming. You white people have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I gave an address, and I didn't even know my address. I didn't know my address at all. It was horrible. And then I saw this person walking with fruit, and I thought, wait a minute. I think I was walking farther and farther away from the food market, and I thought, I think I need to follow the fruit. So I started going back towards the fruit, and I'm walking and walking and walking and walking. And eventually I'm looking at one Greek dude, and he was the Greek dude that was telling me, opa, 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 opa. And I think, he looks familiar to me. And I just stopped, and I turned, and I saw that little palm branch sticking out. And I started walking, and my family had been waiting for me. So, I mean, I'm so grateful. My wife was worried. My son went looking for me in the streets. Kaylee was praying hard. My daughter didn't care. She was putting on her makeup the whole time. She wasn't worried about anything. Maybe she just trusted God. But I came back and I wanted to hug them. It's a weird thing feeling lost. But, you know, here's what the whole time I was asking the Lord, why am I going through this, God? Do you ever go through stuff and you're like, God, why is this happening to me? What am I doing wrong? What happened? And the Lord spoke to me, and he told me this. You're lost without me. I realized how easy it is to become lost. How easy it is to drift. How easy it is to take a wrong turn. How easy it is to stray from God. How easy it is to get distracted. Yeah, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You remember with the Lord, he started off talking to me about this whole Holy Spirit thing. And it's like God just knows. Truthfully, with everything that happens to me, I told someone else, I just feel like God has gotten extra coverage just for me. Because I'm accident prone. I get lost. Things happen. I know in heaven there's extra coverage for me. In Athens, we went to this place called Mars Hill. Have you ever heard of Mars Hill? Acts chapter 17, verse 22 says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. This word Areopagus means hill of Ares or Mars Hill. In Acts chapter 17, you read this famous sermon that Paul the Apostle preached from these rocks. Let's put up a picture of Mars Hill. This is what it looks like now. It's just the rocks right there. That's Mars Hill. On the very top on the right, do you see that? It's the Acropolis. When Paul, and those rocks, incidentally, are so smooth. It's so interesting, too. This is a landmark for Christianity. And the rocks are so smooth because so many, quote-unquote, Christians have visited this site. It is sacred land. I stole a rock. Don't tell anybody. It is sacred land. I probably shouldn't have said that. Let's edit that out of the sermon tonight. I got another side. And as I was walking around, I'm thinking about, like, wow, this is incredible. And I never realized it, but I talked to someone else, and they told us that when Paul visited Athens, there were 75,000 gods that people worshipped. 75,000, right, gods. Kaylee's helping me out. And in fact, when you look at the Bible, there's only a chapter and a half that's dedicated to Athens. But Paul stayed in Corinth for 18 months. At the time, Athens had about 25,000 people, and Corinth had about 500,000 people. 500,000. In chapter 17, verse 23, Paul says, "For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you were ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you." Wow. I don't know about you, but I've wondered sometimes, can Paul identify with the challenges we have today? I mean, you can stick your hand in your pocket and pull out your phone, and you can get yourself into trouble pretty easy. You can look at things that you shouldn't look at pretty easy. Some of you have addictions to your phones. It's a digital addiction. It's easy to do that. And I've always looked at Paul, thought, you know what? He didn't have a cell phone. I think it would have been easier. But I was so wrong. I was so wrong. As I was looking at Paul the Apostle, and the more I learned about Mars Hill, and the more I learned about the Acropolis, and the Acropolis was this place where they worshiped the goddess Athena. It was the high place it was kind of like a place, like an outdoor citadel, but it was also a place of worship. Here's the Acropolis, and there's a picture of us. This is what's behind on the, just literally, you saw Mars Hill, and you saw the Acropolis right there. So when Paul proclaimed Jesus Christ is the only true God, he did it with the Acropolis in the background. Wow. He had courage. You know, we live in a day and age where tolerance is king. I don't want to say anything to offend you. Let's not talk about your sexuality. Let's not talk about your gambling problem. Let's not talk about your drinking problem. Let's not talk about your hot temper. Let's not talk about your porn addiction. Let's not talk about you not coming to church. Let's not talk about, you know, we just stay away from certain subjects because I don't want to offend you. Paul the Apostle wasn't like that. Paul the Apostle stood before 75,000 gods, and they were very sexual. And he proclaimed, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other God like Jesus Christ. And the Lord just spoke to me as I'm standing there on Mars Hill, and I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this. Let me just say it like this. Living for Jesus requires more courage than you think. It requires more courage than you think. While I was up there, I read to my beautiful family portion of Acts chapter 17, and they gathered around me, and my wife took a video of me praying or reading this. And after I was done, my son wandered off over there, and there were some guys he was talking to. And then these guys came over to be with me. And I didn't know this, but the Lord just worked out. I'm on top of Mars Hill, and there's these pastors all from the Dallas, Texas area. And they heard I was going to be on sabbatical. Here's a picture of them. So they all came around me, and they wanted to lay their hands on me and pray for me that God would refresh me and continue to use me and continue to give me a word and bless my ministry in the name of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I don't even know these guys' names. You know, I'll say it like this. God is so good at encouraging in unexpected places. And there I am up on top of Mars Hill. Same thing happened when I was at a church in Athens. He did the same thing. I'm grateful for that. One of the other places I visited, I'm not going to go over all them guys, let's just do like 10% here, is I visited this place called Santa Prudenciana. Santa Prudenciana. It was in Rome. The Basilica of Santa Prudenciana is recognized as the oldest historical place of Christian worship in Rome. It was erected over a second century house, probably during the reign of Pope Pius I in AD 140 to 55. You know what's cool about this basilica? Is what's under it. It's the oldest Christian church that was there. It was a second century house church. And this second century house church was owned by a senator named Pudens. When I was standing in the courtyard, I was looking down. There were some holes, and I'm like, wow, there it was. It was right underneath. And you see all these Christians show up because now this is a beautiful place, and it's very old, but what happened underneath is very significant. This house that was owned by a senator named Pudens was also the place where reportedly St. Paul and St. Peter visited this house church frequently. This Roman senator Pudens actually became a Christian. And you can read it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21. Here's his name. Paul says, do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus sends your greetings, and so do Pudens. There he is. Pudens had two daughters, Prudenciana and Praxedes. Two daughters, Prudenciana and Praxedes. Both of these daughters became Christians. And both of these daughters, when dad died, they continued to oversee the house church, these women. They continued to take care of Christians. They were actually baptized by St. Paul, these two daughters. They became known for their courage. They housed and protected Christians from Rome. These two ladies, women of faith, we need you. They were eventually martyred for their faith. They literally died for the name of Jesus. And it is said that 23 Christians from this house church were martyred for their faith in Jesus. Wow. That's sacred ground. And the Lord gave me a word there also. The type of Christians we're developing at Thorn Creek is more important than the type of our building. I have a bigger question. How many of you would be a Christian in the second century? Amen. Look at them. How many of you would die for your faith? Those are hard questions, aren't they? Aaron McManus said it like this: across the board, Christianity has become a really safe, domesticated religion. I'll go to the church if the message isn't too long. I'll go to the church if they have a good childcare. I'll go to the church if they don't ask me to serve. I'll go to the church if they don't call me out. I'll go to the church if they don't. I'll go to the church if they don't require too much of me. I'll go to the church if there's comfortable seats. I'll go to the church if they don't ask me for my money. I'll go to the church if. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, we need to be more mindful about the type of Christians. And my prayer is we develop and disciple and develop the kind of Christians here that could last in the second century, that are willing to die for their faith, that would be listed with the martyrs. Hallelujah. And the last place I'm going to share with you is Mamertine Prison in Rome. This was the place where Paul the Apostle was imprisoned, one of the places. It was the last place. And when we walked down in there, it was, you can see, it looks like a cave. I mean, that's literally what it feels like. And there's this wet, you know, misty smell to it. And this is where Paul the Apostle wrote some letters, 2 Timothy and Philemon and others. And it is said that Peter was also imprisoned here. And in fact, when the soldiers, the guards were converted to Christianity by Paul the Apostle, that Peter struck, there's a well underneath there, and he struck, it's like a manhole. Do you see that little manhole? He struck it and water came out from the ground, and they used that water to baptize the soldiers and those who were with him and guarding him and that kind of thing. And I'm looking at this whole thing, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is crazy. And one of the things I think about is Paul the Apostle, when he was imprisoned, he would say stuff like, you know, encourage the other churches, encourage other Christians to hold on to their faith, to love others, to fight the good fight, to stay faithful. Like, he's encouraging Christians outside of this space. And I'm looking at it, and honestly, when I look at this and I think if I were there, honestly, when I saw, you know, this other place that I visited, I'm thinking, like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't even know if I have this kind of faith. And I don't know if I have this kind of devotion. I think most of us, when we're in a situation like this, we have these circumstances around us. We allow those circumstances to define our feelings. We always have a tendency to believe our feelings. It's easy prey for the devil. The devil makes you feel a certain way, and you believe it because it's how you feel. Your feelings are not always accurate. What's always accurate is the word of God, and your faith should always follow the word of God, because feelings go up and down. And so many times it's about our circumstances. It's like, well, if my job is going well, if there's peace in my home or peace in the relationships, if nothing bad is happening to me, then I'm feeling great. Yes, I'm a Christian. But Paul the Apostle was in this prison, and I don't know. I mean, there weren't any pictures he could hang up on these walls. It was just, and you know what it dawned on me? Paul had a different reality inside of him than the reality of prison, than the reality of this cave. He had a whole different reality. And I looked at that, and I thought, you know what? I want to live like that. I want to live like that, where I have a reality because the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. And this world, Jesus said there's going to be trouble, but I'm not going to let that trouble determine who I am or how I carry myself or my faith or any of those things. And the Lord told me this: it's possible to be so full of God's Holy Spirit that you live in a different reality than the circumstances around you. It's possible. So many times what we try to do is control our circumstances. It's wasted energy. You can only do so much, right? You can only do so much. When I visited these churches, guys, I visited non-denom churches, denominational churches. I visited churches that ran 100. I visited churches that ran 5,000. I visited churches that ran 75,000. And I want you to know, and I'm going to say this, we are better than you think. I'm talking about Thorn Creek Church. This is a good time to put your hands together in agreement. We are better than you think. We have the right recipe here. We have a desire for God's Holy Spirit to work. This is a place where if the Holy Spirit invades this space, we're going to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. It's not about being programmed. It's not about being slick. It's not about any of those things. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. The future God has for Thorn Creek Church requires faith, and it requires courage. Let me say it like this. Future generations will thank you for your obedience to God. Future generations will thank you for your obedience to God. The last tree was when I was in Maui just a few days ago. I was sitting under the tree and I had just finished preaching these messages for revival. It was interesting. The day after the revival, it was a Sunday, and then Monday, we were so busy doing stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. I only read one Bible verse that whole day. And the Lord was checking me throughout the Monday. He was saying, Reuben, you haven't read. I want to share something with you. He doesn't always do that with me, but he was doing that with me on Monday. So on Tuesday, I was underneath this tree, and the Lord said, Reuben, I want to share something with you. You know, the Lord has a message for you. If you just open up the book, he'll give you the message. So I opened up I'm following chronologically, and I opened up the Bible, and this is what the Lord showed me. He tells me, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. That's what the Lord, that was what I read. Let me say it like this. And I think it's so beautiful how the Lord just gave me, he just dropped some words to me under a tree in Athens and under a tree in Maui. The future of Thorn Creek Church will be marked by people who are filled and driven by God's Holy Spirit. That's the future. It's going to be different. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be sacrificial. It's going to be stretching. You're going to be asked to do things that you normally wouldn't do. There's going to be something inside of you that's going to be stirred, and you're going to take a faith step, and we need you. Next week, I'm starting a brand new series called Fire, and we're looking for 8 weeks on life in the Spirit. What does it mean to allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of you? What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to take over you? What kind of power is that, and what kind of impact does the Holy Spirit have on your everyday life? So, if you want to know that life, do not miss church next weekend. It's going to be fire. That just came to me. That was the Holy Spirit right there. It's going to be fire. And let me say this to those of you. I'm just going to call those of you who call yourself a Christian. You've been in church. Who are you bringing to church? Who are you witnessing to and saying, yeah, you need to come to church with me? What person that's far from God are you working on? Let's be like that second century Christian. I want to get to the end of my life, and I want to be able to look at the eyes of Paul the Apostle, and I want to be able to give him a fist bump and say, hey man, I was right there with you. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to say, I fought the good fight right there with you, bro. I want to do that. I want to be listed by God's grace with the martyrs. I want to be faithful in this generation that the Lord has called me to do. It's really easy for Christians to get to this place of comfort. I think we all need to spend time in the Mamertine prison a little bit. I think we all need to spend time in that early church house and go back to our default and say, this is what it was like. This is what it was like. So, I just believe God has a word for all of you if you stick to this. You're willing to stick to this. Let's see what God's going to do. These next 3 years are going to be a ride. And I did this whole thing because I knew I needed the legs and the heart to do it. And the Lord did his part, and the Lord dropped so many words with me, and they're sticking. And I journaled. I did all that. And I just want you to know God has a future for this church. God is working in this church. We have the right vision. We have the right people. We have the right heart. And incidentally, in this church, we've always had a vision that has exceeded our resources. Always. I can tell you stories But the beautiful thing about that is you give room for the Holy Spirit to work. Guys, I'm done. Man, it's been a long sermon, a long time. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with me. God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your words. Thank you for carrying me tonight. Thank you for Holy Spirit for working in me by your grace. Continue to move in hearts here. I pray for a different anointing, a new anointing. I pray, God, that people experience your power, God. I pray for those who are lost. Bring them back home right now. Holy Spirit, would you draw them back? And maybe you need to say this, Jesus, I need to turn back to you. Forgive me for my sins, and I need to find my way back to you right now, and I want to come back to you. I recommit my life to you right now as best as I can in the name of Jesus. Others of you might call yourself a Christian, but maybe the Lord is stirring your heart and saying, hey, it's time. It's time to live for me in an outrageous way. Lord, would you move in each heart according to your will? Thank you, God, for your presence. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together because God is faithful. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.